Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, live from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it means to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site, and if we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net or call us at 804-909-7339. Today we'll continue our discussion on the Holy Spirit and how to make him real in your life. And if you'd like to be part of our conversation this morning, call us at 347-857-1322 or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2 and you can listen or chat with us online. As always, it's my pleasure. I think I goofed on that. Pastor Godfrey, are you with us? I know I got you on here somehow. Pastor Godfrey.
Yes, sir. I'm on line, sir. can you hear
my finger all out of place here trying to punch you in to get you here.
That's what I'm on line.
Oh, sir. My goodness gracious. We didn't do a show last week, so I think I'm out of practice. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing very, very good, brother. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm surviving the snow. Of course, there wasn't that much of it, so that's a good thing. But I understand up north they're getting hammered pretty well, so we just send our prayers and thoughts up to those folks up there, our brothers and sisters. I know you got some relatives up there in Boston or folks that you know. And I actually got a call the other day from somebody up in Framingham, Massachusetts, I'm working on doing some business with. So we're praying for those folks that they're safe and not encumbered or hindered in any way by this stupid weather that we have out here. So.
Oh, yes. I know most of them are anchored in now.
Praise God. Well, I know Sammy's off of school today, right?
Yeah, Sam is off school today. All schools are closed, Chesterfield, I think, Richmond, Henrico. So he's at home, too.
Well, that should make an interesting day for him, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. You know it.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Well, why don't you give us a prayer this morning or pray for us and then get us started. We're still talking about the Holy Spirit and how to make it real in our life. And I have a vision this morning. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But go ahead and pray and get us started.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again.
This morning we come into your presence, Lord. We thank you that we are coming to break your word, Lord God. Open our hearts, Lord God. Open the hearts of our listeners, Lord God. Open the ears, oh God. We thank you this morning that it's an anointed word, Lord God, and it's the anointing that breaks every single yoke. Thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity. What a wonderful time to be in your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen and amen. Well, I was lying in the bed this morning after I'd gotten my shower, just kind of resting for a second.
Right.
And I had this, I don't know, I think it was an encounter with God. I mean, it was absolutely amazing.
Right.
And he was showing me how we need to be looking at things in life and actually looking at life in general from his perspective.
Right.
And so I was laying there and I was thinking, you know, we think that what we do is pretty insignificant when you compare it to other people, and yet that's the wrong comparison. We need to be comparing ourselves to Jesus. And and Jesus, you know, most of us, like I've been saved for 48 years. I know you've been saved for a long time. And we've done a lot of traveling and ministering and what have you. And there is nothing there, and I think this is the key point that I want people to understand. There is nothing that's inconsequential or insignificant in the kingdom of God.
That is very true.
Everything that God does and everything that he has us do for him, it's by divine purpose. There's a point. There's a plan to it, and it's not by accident. And so when we have the nerve, if you will, the audacity to doubt what we're doing, to think that we're not good enough, or that we are not doing, you know, what Creflo Dollar does, or Andrew Womack, or, you know, some of these other guys that are out there.
Yes, right.
Then we really, that's an affront to God. Because that's saying that if we were able in our own power to do what they were doing, that we'd be, you know, we'd be doing more for God than somebody else. And so I think that it's important for us in our discussion here, when we talk about making the Holy Ghost real in our lives, to understand that God knows what we're doing.
He really does. Yes.
He understands completely what it is we're doing. And if we are tuned in, turned on, and sold out to him, then it really doesn't make any difference what we do, because we're going to be doing what he wants us to do, and it'll all come out being okay.
That is exactly very true.
Would you like to comment on that or add something to that?
I want to add on a comment, which is actually in line with what the word says. It takes me back to, remember in Corinthians where it says that it's those insignificant parts of the body that are vital to the body of Christ?
Yes.
And if we look at it and say, well, I'm just a small finger, or I'm just a small toy, so I don't think I'm needed. Or we can say, well, I'm hidden, I'm not outside, I'm not the eyes to see, I'm just a kidney, or I'm just the pancreas, as far as the body function is concerned. And so I don't think what I do matters anyway. I don't think it's considered. You'll find that that's how the whole body begins to fall apart, because if the pancreas and the kidneys say, well, we are very tiny and we are not seen, others are seen. They are the eyes, they are the arms, they are the legs that takes, you know, the body at different places or locations. So I'm insignificant. I think what you're saying, it ties in with that truth.
That's absolutely true, and I just think it's important for us to understand that in order to really function in ministry, and that, you know, you may or may not be called to be a pastor or an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, teacher, or you know, even if you're just cleaning the bathrooms at your local church, you know, I just finished teaching a class at Life Christian University on the supernatural ministry of health. And I'm telling you one thing, man, that last 4 weeks has just really, really permeated through me. You know, the importance of us doing what God wants us to do in the body of Christ.
Right, exactly.
And as you said, there's nothing that's inconsequential or insignificant. You know, we are doing what he wants us to do, and there's a desired outcome and an effect to everything that we do.
That's very true. And I'm also reminded of another scripture. I believe that was Apostle Paul where he says that we don't compare ourselves with others. We compare ourselves with ourselves. In other words, what the Lord has given us, that's what you look at. Like in Philippians says, I press on towards the mark. Now, you look at that mark. It's not somebody else's mark. It's not somebody else's pressing. It's your personal pressing into the body of Christ, what he has designed you, what he has assigned you, what he has called you to do.
Amen. And I think that's part of really becoming, I don't want to say comfortable from the standpoint of being lazy or lethargic or anything like that.
Right.
But we want to get to the point, like in Hebrews, where it talks about resting in the Lord. That's the one thing that, not the only thing, but a very important thing that we are guaranteed by God is that
right.
we can rest in
uh-huh.
him. And when we rest in him, then we have no problem with trying to accomplish the things that he wants us to do. He will put the people in front of us that need to hear what we have to say and take us to places that, well, I'm telling you, if I ever thought 10 years ago I'd be doing some of the stuff I'm doing right now, I'd have told you you were crazy.
I know.
I mean, this is just
true.
Absolutely insane if you think about it from a natural perspective.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, enough of that. Go ahead and take us in another direction if you like. I'm pretty much done with that.
Yes, you know, before I get to that, I wanted to read the scripture that we're talking about, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 16, where it says that, let's begin with 15. It says, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. 16 says, if the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? That is the only one I wanted to confirm what you were sharing. Anyway, I'll get to the word that came to my spirit. I think last time we shared, we looked at the kingdom and the Holy Spirit. So this time I thought we can title this, The Church and the Holy Spirit.
Boy, you spread open a can of worms, ain't you?
Hallelujah. and then when this word came to me, I mean, it began bubbling in my spirit, and I said, you know, Lord, I can't hold it. So look at Revelation. Of course, there are two chapters that I want us to look at, Revelation chapter 2. And you find that this is the message to the seven churches, but at every end of the message, one word that touched me. Look at verse 7. He that hath, and let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, come to verse 17. Of course, there is so much that we can read in between, but because of our time, and our listeners can read. Now, look at verse 17. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Move again. Let's come to, I'd left out verse 11 of chapter 2. It said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, he repeats it again and again. Let's look at verse 29. He says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, you get to chapter 3 and verse 6. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Again, verse 22 of chapter 3. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Now, it's repeated over and over and over again. Now, of course, when you look at the contents of the messages, they are different. Because this starts like verse 1 of chapter 2. Unto the angels of the church of Ephesus. Now he writes things that is against them. But at the end of it,
it's the same statement over and over and over again. So that means the Holy Spirit is in charge, is in control, and once the church will take away the Holy Spirit, listening from what he's saying, that's where problems begin to come.
So if we go back to our original conversation, and we don't have an ear, because we're all one big eye,
right,
then we're not going to be able to do what he wants us to do, which is hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say.
Exactly. It takes us back to our conversation. Exactly.
So what is it? What is it that we're hearing? What is the Spirit saying? I mean, that's the whole thing. If we have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, then what is it that we're listening for? It has to be the voice of the Holy Ghost.
It has to be the voice of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, as I was looking at these different verses in chapters 2 and 3, I was brought back to where we were. Look at John chapter 16 and verse 13, if you will.
Okay.
It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, what I was looking at is that the Holy Spirit hears something also from the throne room. And then he brings it to us, the church. He brings it to us. And here, what I was trying to imagine the two, in that when he hears, he speaks. But it's upon the church, it's upon us to know what is the Spirit saying. Right?
What verse is that, John? What?
John chapter 16 and verse 13.
Okay.
How does your version read?
Well, I've got the New King James Version. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. See, that's good. I like that, because I think sometimes people think when it says he will show you things to come, that we're not going to believe it until we see it.
Right.
So if it says he will show us things to come,
right,
a lot of people use that word, and I'll have to do some research on that word, show, but I think we tend to translate or transliterate that word into actually seeing things, and that's not what faith is all about.
Mm-mm.
You know, now
no.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Right.
The evidence of things not seen.
Not
so your
seen.
Physical sight really has nothing to do with it. This is talking about your hearing.
This is your hearing. Right.
Yeah, so he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and then he will tell you things to come. Oh, glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it unto you. So if we take of his and declare it unto others, then we are functioning in the same capacity of the Holy Ghost.
Exactly. That's very true.
Oh, Lord, you want to talk about some anointing now.
That is it.
Wow.
That is very true. And you know, I looked also, come and look at the book of Acts, chapter 13 and verse 2, and see how these men moved with the Holy Spirit.
You said Acts 13?
Yes, sir. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. It's all good.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Sure, it would be nice if I could spell. Trying to do things electronically, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Oh.
As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away.
Mm. Now, we see the Holy Spirit now speak, separate me. He's in action now.
Separate to me.
Mm-hmm.
Give me, out of all the people that you have, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I, and that's a capital I always, have called them.
Yes.
Glory be to God.
Now that is the Holy Spirit. he's in charge now. And actually, it's so interesting in that after the Holy Spirit had called them, separated them, you see that Saul's name is changed. For the rest of the chapters, he's called Paul, so he's no longer Saul. Look at verse, let's get to verse 4. It says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Spirit departed unto Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Now, still they were acknowledging the Holy Spirit. Now, read verse 9. Read verse 9 and say.
Verse 9?
Verse 9.
And Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at them and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm.
So in that case, they couldn't see anything anyway.
Exactly.
Wow.
So now, this is where we see the Holy Spirit operating in the church. And he's carrying on. Because as you read in John, Jesus was saying, he's not going to glorify himself. He's going to glorify me. Whatsoever he's going to hear, he's going to reveal it. He's going to show it to you. And as you said, it's not what we think tangibly, but what he shows us in the spirit. Those things that are to come.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And it has nothing to do with our eyesight. It's all about about hearing that still small voice.
Right, yes.
Wow, that's awesome. That's exciting.
Glory to God.
That is exciting. And so it really deals a lot with your with your heart condition, because, you know, if your heart is focused on God, and you understand that you're here on this earth for a specific purpose and a specific reason, and it's not about glorifying you, it's all about glorifying God. And now, if that's your perspective, then it really doesn't make any difference what somebody else does, because you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
And that's the beauty of this. This is the other thing that he showed me this morning, because I'm getting ready to do an assignment up in Capitol Heights, Maryland, here in March, or February, February I think it is, at a school of prophets on the seer anointing, and that's the S-E-E-R. What did they see? And literally, they had dreams and visions and stuff like that, but they really didn't see anything. They heard. That's what the key is right there. They had to be led by the Spirit of God, even though you know, the Holy Ghost hadn't come yet to dwell on the inside of them. They were still led by the Spirit of God.
Exactly. Very true.
Amen.
Very, very true. Amen. And amen. And as you're saying, when you read into the chapters, chapter 2 and chapter 1, you find that the Lord had something against any one of these churches differently. But at the very end, he comes to say, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Now, it ties me back to where you began with a vision the Lord showed you. Now, we can look at what others are doing and say, Lord, I wish I was the one doing that. But then you're going to meet the whole Lord, because he has positioned you where you are. He knows the very kind of people that you reach, that you will encourage, that you will bring into the kingdom.
Well, when you look at that the Church of Philadelphia in verse 7 in chapter 3 of Revelation. If you read that whole thing, he says there, he says, these things says he who is holy and he who is true. He who has the key of David, and he who opens and no one can shut, and shut no one can open. So so you have to understand that if you're in, if you go where it says if you have an ear to hear, you know, what the Spirit is saying to the church, he's saying, look, if I open a door, there's nobody that can shut it. But if I shut that door, nobody can open it, and that deals directly with you. And so he says, I know your works. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Because, you see, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. So it's not about what you can do anyway.
No.
But you have kept my word and have not denied my name.
My name.
Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they're Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you.
Glory.
So, I mean, this is the message to the church at Philadelphia,
yes,
which is what we want to be. We should be striving to be the church at Philadelphia, because here he's saying, look, Out of seven churches, and we're talking about not, I mean, they were individual churches, but the message here from John and from the Holy Ghost through John is a spiritual condition of people.
Right.
I mean, come on now, because if you read
all
seven of those letters, you'll find out that people today fit into every one of those categories.
Exactly. Yes.
But he's saying here, he says, look, I know what you've done. I know what you're doing. I know that you don't have a lot of strength, but you keep my word and have not denied my name. And those people who say that they're all that in a bag of chips, well, they're going to come to you and they're going to worship. They're going to fall down at your feet and they're going to know that I have loved you, that I have called you, that I have ordained you, that I have put you into this position, that I have blessed you, that I have guided you, that I have protected you. And they're going to look and see all of these things that you've been through and the stuff that you're doing. Oh, my God. It's just absolutely amazing. Glory be to God.
Glory to God.
Unbelievably, we are out of time again. This is just fascinating. And so I want you to make sure that we continue this next week, Pastor, because This is powerful. We're hitting on something now that really can make a difference in people's lives and change them, so that they don't have to go through some of the junk that they've gone through through before.
That's right.
So, folks, please tune in next Tuesday at 10 o'clock. And until then, be blessed and let the Spirit reign.